father. Or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron assemble and bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 KFrog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. Animal shelters everywhere are overflowing, and many big breed dogs are among the first to be overlooked and the last to be adopted. And that's where Your Love Unleashed steps in, giving Rottweilers, German Shepherds, and other large breed dogs a second chance at life, love, and a forever home. Today, we'll learn how this rescue is saving lives, supporting adopters, and building a more compassionate community for pets and people. Joining us to share their mission, their challenges, and how you can help is Brandy Knuckle, founder and president of Your Love Unleashed Dog Rescue. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And you've actually brought a special guest with you today. Tell us about Gypsy.
I did. I brought Gypsy, who's a 3.5-year-old Rottweiler that was abandoned at a pet hotel in Homeland. And she subsequently is the first adult female Rottweiler that I have taken in the last 2 years.
Tell us the story behind Your Love Unleashed, how it started, and what inspired you to focus on large breed rescues like Rottweilers and Shepherds.
Your Love Unleashed Dog Rescue started purely because there aren't many dog rescues whose primary focus is on large guardian and power breed dogs. So many other nonprofits work with the littler guys, and for a myriad of reasons, like simply not understanding the needs of these big gentle giants. And having seen the stigma firsthand, Rottweilers are often misunderstood as aggressive or dangerous, which leads sadly to higher surrender and even higher euthanasia rates. Many rescuers are inspired after witnessing sweet and well-mannered dogs overlooked or discarded simply because of their breed. Once you live with or work closely with a Rottweiler, you see the loyalty, emotional intelligence, and deep bond these dogs form. That contrast between who Rotties really are and how they're treated lights a fire in most people. One dog that has changed everything has been like my own dog. My first dog, Cassie, a Rottweiler Shepherd mix, and my Bubba, a Rottweiler Irish Wolfhound mix, both adopted from local county municipal shelters. And most oftentimes, it really starts with a single case, a neglected dog, an owner surrender due to a housing restriction or a last-minute shelter pull. Saving one Rottweiler and seeing their transformation can make it absolutely impossible to walk away. We have to fill the gap where no one else would. Large breeds are expensive, strong, and time-intensive, and many rescues won't take them in. We step in because we realize, if we don't, who will? Rottie rescues are often about more than rehoming. It's about education, responsible ownership, training, breed advocacy, and breaking fear-based narratives.
What's the core mission of Your Love Unleashed, and has that mission evolved since you first began?
Our original core mission statement was to rescue, rehabilitate, and rehome neglected and abandoned.
What's the core mission of Your Love Unleashed, and has that mission evolved since you first began, and if so, how?
Our core mission has always been to rescue, rehabilitate, and rehome neglected, abandoned, and abused large breed dogs, but primarily Rottweilers and German Shepherds. The mission really hasn't changed at all. I still believe deeply in large breed dogs and their capacity to be incredible companions. What has changed is that I'm more intentional and more honest about what responsible rescue looks like. A few years ago, I was seriously injured by a dog who had been mislabeled in the shelter system. That experience was traumatic, and it forced me to slow down and really look at how important accurate evaluations and transparency are, not just for rescues, but for adopters and the dogs themselves. I definitely don't want people to be afraid of large dogs. I want them to be informed. And when we're honest about a dog's needs, their history, and their behavior, we give that dog a real chance at success. And careful placement is one of the most loving things that we can do. So the mission is the same: save lives, advocate for these dogs. But now I also advocate just as strongly for doing it safely, thoughtfully, and with full transparency.
Why do breeds like Rotties and German Shepherds often end up in need of rescue? And what are some of the challenges they face in shelters?
I think breed stigma and fear is probably the biggest. These breeds are frequently labeled as aggressive or dangerous, and that fear has always led to excessive owner surrenders for things like normal adolescent behavior, landlords and HOAs restricting them, fewer adopters even willing to meet them based on a shelter evaluation, and many are surrendered for perception and not behavior. Their size and their strength often overwhelm ill-prepared owners. Because both Rottweilers and German Shepherds are physically strong, highly intelligent, and slow to mentally mature, and people underestimate what it takes to raise them. They are working dogs, and working dogs without work, dogs can become anxious or destructive. They can develop reactivity from frustration. They can be mislabeled as a problem dog. And it's almost always a human failure, not a dog failure. Without structure, training, and mental situation, they are the ones that shatter the fastest. Life changes hit them hardest. They're very sensitive. And things like moves, breakups, job loss, medical issues, that makes them harder to rehome privately. They're far more expensive to board and often the last choice when families downsize. They end up surrendered simply because they're inconvenient to move with. Backyard breeding and impulse buying for both security and for show. Both breeds are popular, which leads to poor breeding for looks over temperament, health and behavior instability from inbreeding and dogs with aggressive tendencies, and puppies sold without screening or education when people are just looking for a profit. When the dog doesn't match the expectations, rescue becomes the first line of defense. Some of the unique challenges that Rottweilers and German Shepherds face in shelters is they deteriorate faster in kennel environments. Rottweilers and German Shepherds are deeply bonded to their people. They're very sensitive dogs. And in shelters, they often shut down emotionally. They develop barrier reactivity. They appear aloof or intimidating to visitors. And the longer they stay, the worse their presentation gets. They're also judged far more harshly. A small dog barking equals, "That's so cute." A Rottweiler barking equals, "Very dangerous." Minor stress behaviors are interpreted as major risks, leading to fewer adoption chances, behavior notes that follow them forever, and euthanasia for manageable issues. There's also housing and insurance restrictions. Even perfect dogs are disqualified because many rentals ban them, and some home insurance policies even exclude them. This shrinks the adoption pool dramatically. On top of that, they're large breeds. They cost more to feed. They have higher orthopedic risk. Rottweilers are known for having poor hips and poor knees, also for entropion. They require stronger handling and training, and underfunded shelters often see them as resource heavy. They need experienced adopters, but they rarely get them. These dogs thrive with clear leadership, consistent training, confidence, and patience. But shelters are full of first-time dog owners, so even if the dog is adopted, they sadly almost always get returned. The reality is most Rottweilers and German Shepherds in rescue are loyal, emotionally intelligent, easy to bond, and highly trainable. What they need isn't saving from themselves. It's saving from misunderstanding, fear, and poor systems in place that fail them at every turn.
I'm speaking with Brandy Knuckle, founder and president of Your Love Unleashed Dog Rescue. Walk us through a typical day at Your Love Unleashed. What does it look like caring for and preparing these dogs for adoption?
A typical day at the rescue is about 6:30, 7 a.m. The alarm goes off. As part of my care standard, all dogs sleep indoors in a heated barn environment. So I go down and let everybody out, and we're off and running. While everyone is finding the perfect place to potty, I start filling all the water buckets and start getting breakfast ready. We usually walk a few laps on the acreage. I catch some candid photos for adoption profiles, of course. We play fetch. We practice recall. We practice obedience. They get treats. When we finish, I put each dog up in a run, set my timer for 30 minutes to let them all cool down from their morning run. I never feed right after free exercise. I walk the property and scoop poop. The fun games never end. I return once the timer is up and I feed everybody. 3 to 5 hours later, they're all let back back out again for afternoon play runs. Sometimes they're still exhausted from the morning, so we don't do much but walk the property and get some extra steps in. Occasionally, they're ready to play fetch again. Then back to their runs, and the night run is where they usually come back alive and have far more energy. We then play fetch with glow balls. We do some more laps, make sure everybody gets a final potty before we get back inside the barn and get settled for the night. They then have dog TV, a mini split heater to keep them warm. Everybody gets a treat, and it's lights out. In preparing these dogs for adoption, I practice obedience every day. I practice recall. I teach manners. They are all crate trained. They are all leash trained. We practice car rides. We practice behavior modification when it's necessary. Exposure therapy, helping to build confident and secure dogs. Socializing with humans and other dogs and animals. Lots of human handling, spay and neuter, vaccines, microchips, surgeries when needed, and always tons of love and affection. In regards to our puppies, pellet training, which is potty training, socializing early, teaching manners early, leash training, and family matching based on temperament, drive, and energy.
And how many dogs are currently in your care, and how many have you helped place into forever homes?
Currently in care is 13 dogs. I do have an upcoming surgery, so intake right now is currently limited. Since 2014, 793 dogs and puppies have found their forever homes.
Share a story that represents the impact your Love Unleashed has had, either a success story or a dog whose life was truly transformed.
I picked a transformed dog because this was the most recent. September 2nd of 2025, I met up with a lovely human named Robin who had been caring for a dumped adult female Belgian Malinois and her daughter who was about 6 months old. I had agreed to take the 6 month old but had deferred taking the adult female because she was hugely pregnant and I wasn't sure if I was ready or even capable of taking on this adult mama and her soon to be pack of puppies. I hadn't taken in an adult older dog since my attack. I arrived and got out of my truck. I didn't see any dogs nearby. When I got to the door, out of the corner came this mama dog. I didn't flinch, and she came right over to me and was the absolute sweetest little love. I looked at Robin and just said, "Put her in the truck." Something in my heart said yes, and boy, am I forever grateful that I did. This sweet, skinny, and all belly mama had been vaccinated before they knew she was pregnant. So our first stop was to the vet for an ultrasound to see what all I was in for. The concern about vaccinations was twofold. If this mama had vaccines in her past, the vaccine would likely not create an issue for her pups. But if she hadn't been vaccinated previously and this was her first vaccine, the likelihood of some complications could certainly have come to the surface. The vet predicted 7 to 9 puppies. He said as far as health goes, it would be a wait and see. On September 22nd, 20 days after her rescue, this mama gave birth to 10 puppies, two of which were stillborn. The next morning, she seemed off. I grabbed the thermometer and immediately checked her temp. It was 104.1. In my experience, I always trust my gut. I loaded her up with her puppies and raced her to the vet. My gut was telling me she likely had a retained puppy or a placenta. They rushed her back and the vet came out and said she still had 3 deceased puppies. I was so sad. This mama had whelped for over 22 hours. The idea that she still had 3 more babies just broke my heart. So an emergency C-section and spay was in order. All I could think about was the babies and whether or not she was going to be able to nurse them. In a panic, I reached out to see who could come help me bottle feed these babies in the event mama was no longer able to, or would be without milk from her surgery and subsequent infection. The little village showed up, bottles and babies everywhere, all of us trying our best to keep these babies going until we knew for sure mama was going to be back with us. Mama Kyla healed up swimmingly, and she immediately began taking care of her babies. Kyla is a portrait of a warrior, life on the streets, bred for money, starved and left out in the cold. She then became the dog who slept on the chase lounge, covered in blankets, eating a raw, nutrient-dense diet, unlimited treats, and hugs and kisses at every turn. All of her pups were adopted, and she too found her forever home. In fact, she was actually adopted first. Ironically, the first person that showed up to help me care for her and her puppies is now her forever mom. She's now living her best life with a mom devoted to her well-being, spoiling her rotten as she deserves. Rescue dogs love unconditionally.
Like many rescues, your work depends on donations. Explain how funding helps your Love Unleashed and what kinds of resources are most needed right now.
I mean, I think funding is like the biggest misnomer for every single rescue right now with the cost of veterinary care and simply just the cost of living and having dogs from just your basic needs like food and shelter. Funding is really what allows us to say yes to dogs in need instead of having to turn them away. Every dollar goes directly toward meeting a dog's immediate and long-term needs, which includes veterinary care, which is vaccinations, spay, neuter, emergency surgeries, medication, and ongoing treatment for injured or sick dogs, regular daily care, which is just quality food, flea and tick, and heartworm prevention, rehabilitation in training, behavioral support, and recovery time for dogs coming from neglect, abuse, or high-stress environments, safe placement, boarding, or foster support when foster homes are full, adoption readiness, which is health certificates, microchipping, and basic training to set up dogs for success in permanent homes. Without consistent funding, rescues are forced to delay care, limit intakes, or rely heavily on credit and personal funds. And, you know, the resources needed right now, while the needs shift, these are typically the most critical and will always be ongoing, which is medical funding, emergency and specialty vet care, spay-neuter costs, medications, and diagnostics, helping support a foster environment for people who are willing to foster, financial assistance for fosters with food, crate, and supplies, and new foster homes, especially for large dogs and medical cases. We're always in need of supplies, high-quality dog food, crates, beds, leashes, collars, and enrichment toys, and cleaning and sanitation supplies. Our general operating funds, these are probably the most valuable because they allow the rescue to respond quickly whenever the need is greatest. Donations allow us to provide medical care, food, and safe placement for dogs who have nowhere else to go. Right now, our greatest needs are medical funding, foster support, and general operating funds so we can respond to emergencies as they come up.
What are some of the biggest challenges your rescue faces daily, from shelter overcrowding to behavioral issues with dogs, and how do you overcome them?
I think the biggest challenge right now, which is incredibly overwhelming, is right now it seems every phone call, text message, email, website visit, referral, Instagram message, Facebook message is somebody wanting to surrender an owned pet. 20 plus calls and messages a day. Adoptions have slowed. So many dogs are needing homes and so many people are having to give them up for various reasons. It's overwhelming and heartbreaking when it feels like you really aren't making a difference, like emptying the ocean with a spoon.
I'm speaking with Brandy Knuckle, founder and president of Your Love Unleashed Dog Rescue. How has the recent wildfire season or other local events affected your rescue efforts and animal care operations?
We have been fortunate that we have been evacuated a few times, but never were really in danger with a fire. We've had a few scares that required mandatory evacuations. And fortunately, because crate training is a best practice at my rescue, this was fairly easy to complete and safely evacuate 26 dogs in 4 vehicles.
Tell us about the adoption process. What's that like, and what should potential adopters know before they make a decision to bring a dog into their home?
I always joke that the adoption process is mostly painless. The application is first. If you're approved, we schedule an in-person meet and greet with all members of your family and all resident dogs. The goal is to match the best dog with the family, and it's ironically quite common for a family to go home with a different dog than the one they were originally set on meeting, choosing instead the dog that best fits the family's lifestyle, exercise needs, and social structure, as opposed to just picking the one that happens to be the cutest. What potential adopters should know before bringing a dog home? Dogs are long-term commitments. Adopting a dog means committing for 10 to 15 years through life changes, through moves, through job shifts, through financial ups and downs. Dogs don't understand that your circumstances have changed. Every dog comes with a history, even puppies. Some dogs come from neglect or abuse. Some dogs come from multiple homes, shelters, or even the street. This can show up as fear, anxiety, or confusion, not bad behavior. Patience and consistency are key. The adjustment period is real, and it's in fact normal. Many dogs need weeks or months to fully decompress. We hear all the time, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. This really isn't optional. All dogs need structure, clear rules, consistent expectations. Training isn't about control. It's about communication. Even well-mannered dogs benefit from basic obedience and routine. Dogs require time every single day. Dogs need physical exercise, mental stimulation, human interaction. If your schedule doesn't allow for daily engagement, the dog will struggle no matter how much love you have to give. Veterinary care, it's a responsibility, not a surprise. Adopters should be prepared for routine vet visits, preventive care, and unexpected medical expenses. Emergency vet bills happen. Planning ahead will always matter. Energy levels matter more than looks. Choosing a dog based on appearance alone often leads to a mismatch. Ask yourself, how much exercise can I realistically provide? Do I want a couch buddy or an active partner? Am I prepared for a dog that needs structure and leadership? Dogs are individuals. They're definitely not stereotypes. Breed traits are tendencies, not guarantees. Each dog has their own personality, their own comfort level, and their own preferences. Meet the dog where they are, not where you hope they'll be immediately. Your household must be on the same page. Everyone in the home should agree on the rules, the training methods, and responsibilities. Inconsistency is confusing and stressful for dogs. Love is essential, but it's not enough. Love doesn't replace training, boundaries, stability, and patience. Dogs thrive when love is paired with structure. Adoption isn't about saving a dog. It's about committing to one even when it's hard, inconvenient, or messy. When adopters are prepared, dogs don't just survive, they thrive. And that's all we could ever want.
Are there common misconceptions about large breed dogs that you wish the public understood better?
Oh my gosh. How much time do we have? The most common misconceptions are obviously that large dogs are aggressive or dangerous. And the reality is that that's just not true. Size does not equal aggression. Temperament is shaped far more by genetics, socialization, training, and environment than by a dog's size. Many large breeds, including ones with scary reputations, are gentle, affectionate, and deeply people-oriented. What people often mistake as aggression is fear, lack of training, and poor handling by humans. Another misconception is that big dogs need a big yard. That's simply not true either. Large dogs don't need acreage. They need daily mental and physical engagement. Many big dogs are surprisingly calm indoors and are happy in smaller apartments and condos if they get regular walks, structure, and enrichment. A bored dog in a big yard can be worse off than a fulfilled dog in a small home. Another misconception is that large dogs are harder to train. Again, not true. Many large breed dogs are highly intelligent and eager to please. They're often easier to train than small dogs because they're more food or praise motivated and less reactive when properly handled. They do require consistent leadership, but that's not the same as being difficult. Another misconception, they're not good with kids or other pets. Again, not true. Large dogs are often extremely patient and tolerant, especially when properly socialized. Successful dog and child and dog and dog relationships depend on supervision, teaching kids respectful manners, proper introductions. Size alone doesn't determine compatibility, management, and education do. Another one is that they don't live as long, so why get attached? Yeah, large breeds have shorter lifespans, but that makes the time that they have with you more meaningful, not less meaningful. With good nutrition, vet care, and responsible breeding, many large dogs live a long, healthy life. Quality of life always matters more than a number. They're too expensive to care for. They are. They do eat more, and they may have higher medical costs, but preventative care, training, and early intervention will dramatically reduce long-term expenses. Large dogs that are well-trained are often easier to manage and less destructive, which actually saves you money. Also, they can't be rescued safely. Large dogs are some of the most grateful, loyal, and emotionally resilient dogs you'll ever meet. Many are surrendered for reasons that have nothing to do with the dog. Housing, divorce, finances, not usually behavior. Given stability, they thrive. Another one, certain large breeds are bad dogs. No dog is bad. Labels and stereotypes do nothing but harm adoptable dogs and lead to unfair restrictions. Behavior should always be evaluated dog by dog, not breed by breed. Large dogs often bond deeply, are calmer than expected. They protect without aggression, and they break your heart in the best way. They don't need fear. They need advocates. And Rottweilers are one of the most misunderstood breeds, and this is something us rescue folks constantly wish the public understood better. The most common misconception about a Rottweiler is that they are naturally aggressive. That's not true. A well-bred, properly socialized Rottweiler is calm, confident, and stable. Aggression in Rottweilers almost always comes from fear, poor breeding, lack of socialization, inconsistent or harsh handling. They are not unpredictable. They are serious dogs who need guidance, not fear. They're dangerous because of their size and strength. Yes, Rottweilers are powerful, but power doesn't equal danger. When trained, they are exceptionally self-controlled, highly aware of their surroundings, and protective without being reactive. Their strength means responsible ownership matters, not that the dog is unsafe. Rottweilers can't be trusted with kids. Rottweilers are deeply loyal family dogs and are famously patient with children in homes that teach boundaries. Many are natural watchdogs, positioning themselves between kids and perceived threats without aggression. Supervision and education, not fear, create safe relationships. They're too stubborn or dominant to train. Rottweilers are intelligent, highly intelligent, thoughtful, and deliberate. They don't blindly obey. They assess. That's not stubbornness. That's working dog intelligence. They thrive with clear structure, consistent rules, and positive and fair training. Once bonded, they're incredibly reliable. They need to be toughened up or trained harshly. Harsh training damages a Rottweiler's trust and confidence. They are by far one of the most sensitive breeds that there is. They respond best to calm, confident leadership and positive reinforcement. When treated fairly, they're eager to work and eager to please. Strong dogs need kind handlers, not force. Rottweilers are not good with other dogs. Many Rottweilers do perfectly well with other dogs, especially with proper introduction and management. Like many guardian breeds, some prefer selective friendships, which is not the same as aggression. Preference equals not dangerous. They're not good rescue dogs. Rottweilers in rescue are often owner surrenders due to housing or insurance issues, victims of a stereotype or a breed restriction, and dogs whose owners simply underestimated the commitment. Given stability, they are extraordinarily loyal and deeply bonded to their people. Rottweilers are not affectionate. My Rottweiler and most Rottweilers that I know are famously Velcro dogs, leaners, couch invaders, and food hoarders. They bond intensely and often believe they are lap dogs, even when they are 140 pounds. They're only good as guard dogs. Well, while naturally protective, Rottweilers are also therapy dogs, service dogs, family companions, and goofy, playful clowns at home. Protection is instinctive, but love is their primary drive. Rottweilers certainly are not for everyone, but for the right person or the right family, they are unmatched. They don't want chaos or dominance. They want structure, partnership, and purpose. They are loyal to their core, and once you earn it, you have it for life.
Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators. Keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
I'm speaking with Brandy Knuckle, founder and president of Your Love Unleashed Dog Rescue. Once an adoption is complete, do you offer or recommend any training or support resources for families?
This one kind of actually makes me laugh because I always tell families once they've adopted from me that they get me 24/7 because I treat my adopters like their family. And I sadly only adopt out to families that I want to have a consistent relationship with for the next 10 to 15 years. So I tell them I am always available 24/7 for the families who have adopted from me. I know that sounds ludicrous, but if they're listening, they will tell you that if they reach out to me, I respond. I typically post adoption reach out once they have reached home. I reach out the next morning to see how their first night went, if they have any questions, any concerns. And then I always leave myself open as a resource, as every family who adopts from me, like I said, is considered family. I'm always at the ready, willing to help and always possible. My adoptive family still text and send photos so often, and I cherish the lasting relationships provided me by my families.
Looking forward, what are your goals for the next year or even the next 5 years for the rescue?
I went ahead and went with goals for the next year. We were very fortunate to receive a grant to upgrade the office, which is our meet and greet location for the adoption room. So wanting to get that completed to include a space for a maternity ward that's ready when the next mama dog needs help. But ultimately, at the heart of it, next year isn't just going to be about numbers. Responsible rescue and responsible growth. That means increasing the number of dogs we help only as far as we can continue to provide timely veterinary care, proper decompression and rehabilitation, and thoughtful placement into the right homes. Saving more lives matters, but saving them well matters more. It's about sustainability, compassion, and doing right by every dog who comes through the doors.
And if you could tell the community one thing about animal rescue that everyone should know, what would that be?
If I could tell the community one thing about dog rescue, I guess it would be this. Rescue isn't about saving dogs. It's simply about committing to them. Behind every rescued dog is someone paying the vet bills, someone getting up at 2 a.m. for meds or an accident, someone making hard decisions when resources are limited, and someone choosing the dog again, even on the hard days. Rescue's not heroic moments. It's daily responsibility. And most dogs really end up in rescue, not because they're bad dogs. They end up there because life has changed, expectations didn't match reality, and ultimately the dog pays the price for a human decision. And the truth everyone should know is love alone is never going to be enough. Good intentions do not replace preparation, and the real rescue happens after the adoption paperwork is signed. When the community can understand this, fewer dogs are surrendered, fewer rescues burn out, and more dogs stay home, exactly where they belong. Supporting rescue doesn't always mean adopting. It means fostering, donating, advocating, educating, and choosing responsibility, even when it's inconvenient. That's what actually saves lives.
I've been speaking with Brandy Knuckle, founder and president of your Love Unleashed Dog Rescue. How can people learn more about your rescue or reach out to you?
We are on Facebook at Your Love Unleashed Dog Rescue, Instagram at Your Love Unleashed. Our website is yourloveunleashed.org and at yourloveunleashed@gmail.com.
And anything else you want us to know?
Gypsy's so cute. I'm just kidding.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Thank you for sharing Gypsy with us. Of course, you can see Gypsy's pictures on our website, kfrog.com. And we are looking forward to Gypsy finding her forever home. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.